First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Today on The Grave Talks, haunted Randolph County and saving the old properties. A conversation about saving and preserving the history and the hauntings of historic buildings in East Central Indiana. Dan and Richard Allen started the nonprofit Saving the Old Properties to instill an appreciation of history through the acquisition, restoration, and preservation of endangered historical buildings with architectural significance in the state of Indiana before they're destroyed by time or developers. Several of these properties remain occupied by their previous inhabitants, ghosts. Not only do they offer historical tours in several of their properties, but they are also open for paranormal investigations. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll continue talking about the hauntings of the Randolph County Asylum as well as the Stone Mansion with Richard Allen with Saving the Old Properties, Kate Thornburg, General Manager, and Ted Martin, Historian.
You have seen something since then, though. I think you said you'd seen something down in the kitchen, Ted?
Yeah, down in the kitchen, there was a lady that worked here and cooked for 70 years. Her name was Doris Addington, and she was actually left here by her older sisters. And all three of the girls wanted to be adopted because their parents were killed in a car accident, and they were young enough that they wanted to be adopted. And so the youngest girl, her name was Doris Addington, had a speech impediment. In other words, she stuttered. And this was in the early 1920s. And to be quite honest with you, they didn't think, because she had a speech impediment, that she would get adopted. Oh. So they thought maybe she'd be better off here. But they didn't tell her that. And so on a Sunday afternoon, they pulled up out front of the building out there, and they all got out and sat on the front steps here, and they were all hugging and crying and carrying on. So what they were doing, they were breaking the news to Doris that they were going to leave her here.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
And then the older girls went, got back in the car and drove away and left little 11-year-old Doris sitting on the front steps. And you can't tell me that the superintendent wasn't aware of it, because as soon as the girls drove off, he's out talking to her, asking her what's going on. And so she told him that she got dumped here by her sisters, basically. Well, he was ready. He jumped right out in and said, well, what would you like to do to help us here? He's thinking that a young 11-year-old girl would be a great house cleaner, you know, because there's a lot of square footage here. And so she was ready for him. She popped right up and said, I am 11 years old and I know how to cook, and that is what I'm going to do. And so he told her right then to go downstairs in the basement where the kitchen is and get with the lady that was called the first cook down there. Naturally, she was a Mary, and told her to get with Mary and learn the ropes for a couple of years, and then it's all hers. Well, Mary didn't last a couple of years. She got sick and passed away. So by the time Doris was 13 years old, she was cooking 3 meals a day for everybody in this building.
At 13?
At 13.
Wow.
Try that today.
Wow. You couldn't do that today.
That won't happen today.
Exactly.
And so every church in the county knew that Doris was good at cooking for large groups of people. Very good. So whenever one of the churches in the county would have some kind of luncheon or function of some kind, you know, or feed or whatever it is that they were doing, they would ask Doris to help her. They offered to pay her, but Doris would never take any money. But she was very, very, very fond of dolls. And so whenever a church or one of the social clubs would ask her to help, they would buy her a doll and give it to her. And, of course, it would come back out home with her here where she lived. And their dolls went with her whatever room she stayed in when she was here, including the room she passed away in. Because in 1984, she got that H1N1, that bird flu. She passed away. She was 81 years old. And you stop and think about it. She was 11 when she came here. That's 70 years that lady cooked three meals a day for everybody in this building. And so one night I was downstairs in the ladies' dining room adjoining the kitchen. And I was pointing out some lead-based paint on the wall and telling a young lady, don't be licking the wall because it might kill you. And so she let out a big scream as soon as I turned my head and grabbed me by the arm and turned me towards the doorway going into the kitchen. And there from the waist up was Doris Addington going right by that doorway, still cooking, still working in the kitchen.
From the waist and up, so, you saw her.
So from the waist up, we saw her. Me and that young lady saw her. So the place is haunted. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, and I am definitely a believer now.
So I saw a picture that was taken inside of that building, and there was a lot of dolls in the picture. Would those have been her dolls?
Some of them on a shelf were, yes.
Okay.
Others are ones that just people are ghost hunters would. And know the story of Doris.
And they bring
and so her. They bring her dolls to give to her. And she interacts with people that give their dolls to through a spirit box. Nine times out of ten, she'll thank you for giving her the doll.
Because I read that there's reports of dolls moving, which is really creepy to me. I find old dolls to be creepy anyway. But the idea of them moving is really creepy to me. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have noticed a couple of them that I know for a fact have definitely moved. If you don't sit there and watch it, you can't really attribute that. That might just be gravity, you know, where they're just falling over or something.
Right.
So whatever you want it to be, I don't know. I know she is definitely in that room that she passed in, and I know it's one of her favorite rooms.
And she obviously still loves the kitchen.
Oh, yes. Yes, you can stand. There's an island down there in the middle of that kitchen. You can actually stand around that island with a recorder and spirit box, and you can carry on conversations with her. It's real.
So people pick up, obviously, people, the investigators pick up a lot in there.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And now this again.
I have never had anybody tell me that they didn't have some kind of experience here. And that's one of the things I always tell people when they first come here is that anything that you see, hear, or experience here is real. This is not a made-for-show Halloween haunted house. This is absolutely real.
Can you rent out the building for an investigation group? Or is it one that they would join a tour that you have already set up?
Well, what you could do if you got your own paranormal group and if you want to come here and spend a night, we do overnight stays. I meet them at the door, and me or another one of the guides, or one or two, two or three other guides we got, will meet them at the door, bring them in, sign them in, give them a brief as possible verbal history, and then we walk them around the building to show them around. And usually it's around 9:30 or 9 o'clock at night when I leave, and I go get in the car and go home, and it's theirs till 10 o'clock the next morning. And they got the whole building to themselves. They can experience anything they want to. And we rent it out to in the daytime for just history tours as well.
That was going to be my next question. If you could just go take a tour of the building.
Do several of them. They're much cheaper than the overnight one, but
I think it'd be interesting to do both. So you can see it during the day and kind of know what you're doing and go back at night. Although I'm really not brave enough. Who am I kidding?
Well, and we also offer during the daytimes, if you want to, you can come in and do a history tour and then follow it up with a mini hunt. So you get the tour, and when the tour's done, staff leaves, and you have the place for a couple of hours, because if it's haunted, it's haunted. Doesn't matter, day or night, stuff happens.
It doesn't just happen at midnight on Friday the 13th. If a place is haunted, it's haunted 24/7.
Yeah, I've had several people on history tours to see one of our spirits we have here. He's called the Tall Man, and he's been seen a lot through the daytime. And so you're right. It doesn't matter where it's daytime or night. It really does. If it's here, it's here. That's kind of interesting, especially when all you're doing is walking around showing people, well, this is what they do here, used to do here, and this is what they then they yell at you and say, I just saw a shadow go by the door clear at the end of the hall down there. It was a great big tall guy. Now, I mean, whether I see it or not, it don't make any difference. They've seen it. That's all that matters, really.
Well, I think it would be fascinating. I would do the daytime tour myself, but that mini hunt, Kate, might be up my alley. I might like to do
Yeah, during the day,
like,
and it's not quite as scary as it is at night going around with all the lights off and stuff. And we have people that get fantastic results in the daytime hunts and decide they're going to brave a nighttime one after.
Now, the one last place I want to talk about, and I'm not sure how to say this. So it's the general, I'm not even going to get the name right, Stone Mansion, but how do I say his first name?
Ashiel.
So it's General Ashiel Stone Mansion?
Yes.
Katie, you're probably better at that than I am.
You've got it right. It's the General Ashiel Stone Mansion.
And now that's in Winchester, Indiana.
Yes.
And that was, they started building it in 1872.
Actually, that's when it was completed.
It was completed in 1872.
Yeah, I think they started that around 1869 and was completed in 1872. But the gentleman who built it designed it.
Really? Because it's an impressive building. And I was talking to Kate one day, and I said, when you think of what an old haunted house looks like in your head, that's what this looks like. It's an old, is it Victorian style home?
It's actually Second Empire architectural style.
Oh, interesting. It is really a spooky looking mansion. So it was built as a residential home, then, I assume.
Yes.
Can someone tell me a little about the background and who lived here and about the general?
Ted, you want to go ahead and cover that?
Well, I can do some of it. I know that General Stone moved into the place. That was his second place that he lived in Winchester. Well, his first building that he used to live in burned up. Well, let's just talk about General Stone for a minute. He was your proverbial little big man. His total height was 4'11 3/4 inches tall. He was a little big man. You ought to see the doorknobs and stuff and the hardware where they're all located. A normal, regular-sized person has to bend over to reach the doorknob.
Hey, now I am exactly 4'11 3/4 inches tall, and I think they're perfect. So don't go there, Ted.
I'm 5'2". I would have no problem with this.
I do.
You're a tall guy, Rich?
Yeah, 6'3".
Yeah, you probably do have some problems with that.
Yeah.
Did he live there quite a while?
Katie, how long did he live there?
So he and his wife moved in there in 1872 when it was completed. The general passed away in 1891, and his wife died 18 months after that. They didn't have any children, so it passed out of their hands, and they left it, I believe, to the Presbyterian Church. Is that right, Ted?
I believe you're right.
And then the church auctioned it off, and it passed through various other private owners. It was turned into apartments at one point in time, which is just, I hate when they take beautiful old homes like that and turn them into apartments. But it was apartments at one point in time, but it's been in private ownership its entire history.
And then, Rich, when did you end up, you purchased this, I'm assuming?
That was my brother again. And
okay.
Does anybody know when he did that?
September of 2019 is when that was purchased.
Had it been empty for quite a while?
So the gentleman who owned the home that Dan purchased it from, he had lived in it for several years, and he ended up getting sick. He had cancer, and he moved out, and he was selling the house on a land contract, and that ended up falling through. So Dan purchased it. So it had been being lived in, but it wasn't being worked on really the last probably 20 years of before Dan purchased it. It had just been kind of deteriorating, which is sad. There were some serious leaks in the roof and things like that. So
what is the state of it today? Have you had to do much renovation? But I'm going to guess that that's kind of an ongoing thing with a building like this.
The roof, when brother finally got it, there was a hole in the roof that he could just go through. I mean, it was big enough for him to just.
Oh, wow.
Go through, and it went through the second floor and the first floor into the basement. The main thing is to get the structure dried in. Once we get the structure dried in, then we can start working on the interior. Well, the roof is. We think we get it dried in, and then it pops up another leak. And we just like really scratch our head sometimes. It's like, where's the water getting in? So we've done a lot of roof work, and we want to keep it as original. We don't want to just like tear it all off and put down a new roof. We mm-hmm. want to keep as much as the old original roof as we can. So between keeping the windows in and then roof dry, that's pretty much all we've been able to do. It's not getting the help it needs. If we could get volunteers or grants or whatever to mm-hmm. help out, that would be awesome.
What they have done, as far as my opinion goes, is they've made it so it is you can spend the night in there safely. You can go hunt the place and not worry about getting a broken leg or anything like that. You know, they've made it so it's easy to get around in there and it's not dangerous anymore. It was at one time, actually, in my opinion, it was dangerous to be in there because the roof was terrible on it. I mean, if it would rain outside, it looked like Niagara Falls inside.
Oh. But you can go in it.
It was terrible.
But you can go in it now and do investigations. Is that one also open for regular tours, daytime tours?
Yes, it is. It's available for daytime tours and overnight stays if you want to as well.
Do people feel like it? Because like I said, it looks like a haunted mansion. Have people had quite a few experiences in it?
Well, there's 1, 2, 3, I'm going to say 4, maybe 5 spirits that we were pretty positive were there that keep showing up that people encounter when they're there. And one of them is a little girl with a yellow dress. That's kind of, that was from a later owner. It was a niece of a later owner of it. And if I'm not mistaken, she was either abused as a child and accidentally killed, or she got hit by a train out back because the train track goes right through their property. And of course, Lydia Stone is there. And Lydia was the general's wife. And Joe Preston is there. That was the general's wife's brother. Because when the general went to find him a wife, he had to go back down around Dayton, Ohio, down here to find one down because he's not going to marry somebody that stands over him 3 feet or anything like that. Right. He needs somebody shorter. So he found this lady down there, and she was She's actually shorter than him. And he married her, but she kind of had a deal. She wasn't the best looking lady in the world, and she was getting up there in years. She agreed to marry him, but he had to take her brother in with her. Oh. And so, in other words, when she moved up here to Winchester with the general, with General Stone, her brother came with her. His spirit's still there. Lydia's is still there. The little girl's there. And General definitely is still there.
Now, she called Wendy the little girl.
The little girl was named Wendy.
So they've captured full body apparitions, which is how we know Wendy in a yellow dress, because people have seen a little girl in a yellow dress, and full body apparitions of Lydia, the general, and Jonathan.
Now, how long has it been open for the investigations?
It opened once they got the roof fixed. So it was New Year's Eve.
Oh.
From 2019 to 2020, we had a kind of a open house overnight public event, grand opening thing for that evening. So it's been open for just about 3 years now.
Because I think it would be so interesting to do a trip there, because we have so many people listening to the show who are obviously into this sort of thing. But you could do in one trip. You could have all these different investigations.
Yeah, we have a group coming in later this year. They're trying to find dates for a summer investigation to actually do investigations at five of the places. So one right after the other.
I just think that would be so, well, it'd be exhausting because you wouldn't get much sleep. I guess you could do that during the day. But I just think
all of our locations have places for you to sleep. And that's why we have checkout at 10 a.m. so you can get some sleep, because nothing says, you know, great PR like ghost hunting group dies in fiery crash on the way home from Randolph County Asylum because they were sleep deprived.
But I know me, I would never be able to sleep in this mansion. I couldn't sleep in the asylum. I'm just looking at pictures of him and I know I would never sleep there. And Rich, I just have to say, and please share this with your brother, I just think there are just so many buildings that are gone every day because nobody stepped up. And I just really, really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's sad, but really every building that gets torn down, which makes ours valuable, I guess, because for the most people, I would say when it comes to history, knock it down. They really don't care. And the people that do care don't have a whole lot of power to say, hey, I want to save that.
Mm-hmm.
So when something does get saved, it is nice to see that. And, you know, our acronym is STOP. We just want to see all this stop, you know, save the history. And so that's when my brother come up with that acronym of.
But just going and taking a tour, going and doing an investigation, getting a group together, that money goes to help restore these buildings and keep them going.
Yes. In Blackford, when we saved the jail, they have not been very helpful. So then when we came over here and got the asylum here, this county has just been wonderful. They've been helpful as much as possible. And so that's really nice that the asylum here is in the mansion is in a town that really respects what we do.
Local governments can be so different.
Yes. They?
Well, I want to say to all three of you, thank you so much for your time today. This has been so interesting. And just the whole idea of owning this many properties where people can go in and do paranormal investigations is fascinating, because I had no idea. When I reached out and I initially talked to Kate, she was like, which one do you want to talk about? I'm like, what? There's more than one?
There's been weddings in here, so it's not just paranormal. We've had a couple of weddings. It's not just, you know, say, be stereotyped that this is what you do in this place, because we have other things. We have a lot of movies. The movie Bones and All that just was out in the theater not too long ago, MGM movie. They showed the outside. They did a lot more filming than what they did, but they actually showed the building here. It's more than just investigations that we do. We wanted to open it up to, you can use the history, or you can, you know, even make movies about stuff. So,
which would also bring in money for you, which would be great.
Yes. And another thing about the jail, the jail cell area is solid granite. It's not like cement or anything. And the granite in Indiana wasn't hard enough. So they went to Michigan and had a train bring it down here to build it like a puzzle.
That's built like a fortress then.
Yes. It's solid granite and it's like a foot thick, and nobody ever escaped from there without help.
Is there any story that we didn't touch on today that you guys think would be interesting?
Well, one of the things that I would definitely want to touch on is I was a member of Randolph County Council at one time, and I know for a fact that council and commissioners had no idea what they were going to do with the like, for example, the infirmary. And they were restoring the courthouse at the time to restore it back to its old way. And so they had to take all the records and books and everything out of the courthouse. And so they were bringing all the records and books and everything out of the courthouse out here to the infirmary and restoring them out here. But as soon as they got the courthouse restored and opened back up for business and everything carried back, they were going to tear this down. They were going to tear it down. It was going to be a big parking lot. It's right across the road from the 4-H grounds. And the county had no plans for it. They were going to tear it down.
They didn't want to.
They didn't want to. They wanted to save it, but they couldn't come up with any use for it at the time. And I will tell you this, my sister and I were the very first two to get the keys and come out here and ghost hunt this place at Randolph Infirmary. We were the first two to ever do that. I remember telling a couple of the commissioners at that time, we ought to open it up for ghost hunting. And of course, nobody would buy that idea. That didn't fly. But Dan came up with a business plan to make it fly. And I'm just happy that what these guys are doing with these old buildings is making it possible for us to see what things really used to be, the way it really was. And it's not just an imagination. It's really here. And I enjoy that. And we bring a lot of people into Randolph County.
Oh, I bet.
We bring a lot of people. It's one of the biggest, besides Winchester Speedway, it's one of the biggest attractions in Randolph County. And so it helps with the economic growth of the county a great deal too. What these guys are doing is actually a blessing for Randolph County. And I know that the county is really glad that they're doing it.
And that wraps up our conversation about the hauntings of Randolph County and saving the old properties. For more information about saving the old properties, go to savingtheoldproperties.com. And for more information on tours and paranormal investigations, go to hauntedrandolphcounty.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.